The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. We are continuing to follow the story. I began covering about 3 hours after it happened. Maybe 10, 11, 12. Yeah, 2.5, 3 hours on October the 1st. It has taken a lot of strange turns and directions, but all of you who noticed the headline I put up at the very top of the homepage where I've been covering the story, you notice that the headline was, I never changed it. I didn't have to. It started out with the words CIA, ISIS, Mossad, false flag, and went from there. It included the phrase terror attack. This is war against America. We are at war now. This is no joke. This was not Stephen Paddock. He was a patsy. I think most all of you know that by now. In point of fact, Stephen Paddock may not even have fired a shot. We can't prove it. We don't know. We'll get into that more. Every time I have Jay here and say goodnight, I kind of rhetorically ask, wonder what will happen in the next month. Well, we got another one. This is a 9/11 size event. Certainly in not in terms of physical damage and destruction, but in terms of the psychological destruction to a lot of people. It's right there in the same basket. Jay, welcome back. How are you?
Well, I wish I could say I'm good, but the last 11 days or so have been kind of trying, as I have been frantically going down the rabbit hole of this whole thing. And I can say without a doubt that the forces of the deep state are at work here. There's no doubt, but there seems to be several different conflicts maybe going on. And so no one is actually getting their story straight. And it's very interesting that the mob that owns the hotel, the Mandalay Bay, they're saying that the FBI and the deputy sheriff is getting their stories wrong after changed their story, which is the most significant thing so far in this entire affair, because changing such a radical thing as saying that the Jesus Campos actually stopped the killing and he was praised as a hero, to then shifting and saying that, oh, he was shot before the shooting started. I mean, whoa, dude. I mean, this is serious weirdness. And I mean, serious weirdness. And then to have the management of the Mandalay come out today and say, well, police may not be right in what they're saying, the FBI may not be right in their timeline. I'm going, what? You know,
yeah.
What the hell?
There are a lot
and
of
then
people.
There's a strange, helicopter that's going over. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, helicopters go over Las Vegas all the time. And that's true. Been to Vegas many times, know that there's helicopters going over all the time. But every time that the rapid fire shooting happens, we hear the helicopter going at the same time. And I think that's significant. I don't know what it means, but I think it's significant. We need to start thinking about that.
I think what it means is that FEMA, the CIA, and the other participants all knew what was going on, and they were there watching.
Your headline is, yes, exactly. So, you know, then the question becomes, okay, so somebody broke into Paddock's house, right, over the weekend.
Well, that's alleged. Somebody went in there, but did they break in, or were they allowed to break in? I mean, it looks, obviously,
well,
looks
exactly.
like evidence
know.
Planting or evidence expunging, one or the other.
Yeah, and somebody saw a light on it. A neighbor saw a light on it, called the police. And so you have to wonder what's really going on there.
Right.
But the whole thing is just, you know, strange. And so strange that I've never seen a case where we're now, 9 days, 10 days, 11 days
mm-hmm.
Out from it, and we still don't know any more than we knew at the beginning. And it's clear that the sheriff, Lombardo, is sending signals so much that even the FBI has a guy now that's like, you know, 8 inches away from him, staring at him while he's talking.
He reached out to
ahead.
All of
you
us.
You know more than I do, actually. You know,
yeah.
Your side is covering this the best of anybody. That's why, you know, I'm feeling kind of like, you know, I know what I know because I've been reading the site. So,
okay.
I mean, I've been everywhere, and I have been assiduously following this from the beginning. I've watched every video. I know people died. There's no way you can fake that death stare, period. So the live leak video is absolutely spot on, and people died, and this was definitely a mass murder, there's no doubt about it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 64 years old, so I'm the same age as Stephen Paddock, and there ain't no way on this green earth of pot that I'm carrying up 300 to 400 pounds of ammunition and weapons anywhere. I'm not interested in it. I don't want to do it. My physical body, while I'm in pretty good shape, is not interested in doing this. Even with access to the service elevator, I'm not doing it. I don't buy that he had anything to do with this. And I think that is the greatest crime so far, is that they're not looking into this guy and then telling us, did he have, was he ISIS?
Jay. They're just not there. Look, this is a cover up and a management situation. It's highly insulting to the families of the dead, to put it mildly.
And to us.
And to all of America. If you have been able to look at the video at the top of the homepage, you'll understand a lot. This young man, who with his girlfriend went through this whole thing, tells a story. It's 41 minutes long. I watched it, every second of it. I was transfixed. I've never seen a human being go through such a horrific crisis and ordeal and be able to pull together a narrative and keep it going like he did. You have such trauma in your mind. And he was so angry that I think that drove him. His girlfriend was sitting next to him. She's got PTSD to the nines. She's going to be down for a long time, emotionally, mentally, years. And he was able to tell this story. Did you see the video yet?
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Okay.
I've watched every video that exists.
Yeah. This is this guy.
On the thing, as far as I know.
Yeah, what they went through and his description of it was extraordinary. One of the most moving, powerful video documentations I've ever seen of an event. I was amazed.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to also ask the big question. There's three things so far that have to be really asked. And that is, there's two statements by the sheriff, Lombardo. One, he may have been radicalized. That's one statement.
Yeah.
Two, he could not have, there's no way you're going to convince me that he did this alone. That's the second
statement. He had to have some help along the way, is what he said.
Yeah. And then the third thing, which I think is the thing that's being the most overlooked except by the insane radical left, is the victims of this thing. And I think when you add up the two statements by Lombardo and the victims, who were the victims? Okay. So, you know, if it had been a Jay-Z concert that had been shot at, you know, I think we would have known, you know, probably had a good idea who the perpetrator was. And if it had been shot up a Klezmer, whatever the Jewish music is, concert had been shot at, I think we might have a good idea who the shooter was. But here we have a country western concert that gets shot up, and nobody's questioning the victims. Why were these the chosen victims, and what does that mean? And I think we know what that means. And we know what's going on here, that they were chosen specifically for this reason. Now, I did, you know, receive your email earlier, and I've been going down, I guess, the same exact rabbit hole that you're going down, in that I think he was with his two planes and his pilot's license. And let's not forget something else, which is really important. And that is that this guy, Paddock, he worked as a internal auditor at Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin is where Skunk Works is located.
No, he apparently had top security clearance at one point.
Of course. You could not be an internal auditor at Lockheed Martin. And believe me, I have a high-up relative who worked for years for Lockheed Martin and told me many, many stories about what goes on in that company. There is no way. Lockheed Martin is a top developer for the secret space program. They have been for 30 years. We know what Benjamin Rich said about that we can take E.T. back home now, and we can go to the stars. And when Ben Rich is saying that, at the same time that Ben Rich is saying this, Paddock is the internal auditor at Lockheed Martin. And furthermore, I'm gonna blow the name of this. Someone in the audience can probably help, but it is turning out, I believe, that Paddock or Paddock's ex-wife, Peggy Paddock, owned an establishment in Las Vegas which had the same exact name as the military surname for Area 51, which is, I believe, like Desert Paradise or something like that. I'm sure someone will correct me real soon here. But he owned it. It was like a therapeutic center for pets and one of the many businesses that he owned in the Vegas area, bearing the same exact name as a military surname for Area 51. And so I don't know what any of this means. But I know that there's enough red flags here to raise a lot of suspicions. I do not believe that it is possible for someone to make $5 million, which he is claiming he made in 2015, as a professional gambler.
No. they'd kick him out of the casinos, Jay. You know that.
Exactly, because you lived in Vegas. You know that there's no way that he's going to be given comps, drinks, sex, girls, anything
rooms.
If he's winning $5 million a year. There's no way. You can't even come in.
That's
the
too much.
Anymore because you must be cheating.
Yep.
Is what they think. Yeah,
That's
because
right.
they got a 60-40 head on the house. So there's no way. And, you know, I'm not a gambler, but I understand gambling. I can actually see how someone can get addicted to it. But there's no way that with a 60-40 house to, you know, patron
ratio
statistics that you're going to win $5 million. And $5 million is, come on, he's money laundering.
He's right. Here's the way right now that it stacks up for me. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. And I know a lot of you probably will reject this, and that's fine. Well, this is just the way I see it after watching all this, doing the photo analysis of the room. And I've updated that. I hope you can all go look at it again. Those pictures, they were not leaked, by the way. They were leaked intentionally by the police to try to give closure to this. It's bad for business there. Business is what Las Vegas is. They want this to go away, so they show everyone a dead body, the shooter. They show the cartridges. They think they got enough casings. They show the pistol. Closure. People think closure. It's a reflex. All right, that's what they were trying to do, but those pictures told a whole different story. At the end of the photo spread, you'll see an enhanced blow-up of the pistol, which is 3 feet above his head. Meanwhile, he's laying on his back with his arms at his sides, not splayed out. So between his hand and the gun is at least 6 feet. That gun was in a pile of a pool of blood, and it was picked up and moved. How do I know that? Because there's a trail of blood drops leading away from the primary blood above the head to where the gun is sitting. It was picked up, moved, and put back down. It was placed. So many things in that room were placed. It's silly. We did a color saturation enhancement. That gun is covered with blood. And it didn't, if it were blown away at the moment of shooting, it might have a couple splatters on it, but that was sitting in blood. So how did it get from the blood pool to where it is? All right, here's Paddock in my view. He very likely never fired a shot. This is I know you're going, wait, what? I think the guy was running guns, not carrying them, but selling guns, hustling guns, brokering guns, for the CIA or somebody for a long time. That's where his money came from. It was an endless supply of money. Listen to the interviews from his brother. They're weird. The second one especially. Somebody got to his brother and rattled his cage real good. All right. So they had this perfect guy running guns for a long time. They needed a patsy. They arranged to put him in that suite and have those guns brought up there. He didn't do it. They brought them up on the service elevator, most likely. They got 120 Muslims working there, over 10,000 Muslims living in Las Vegas. Do you think they can find some volunteer help? They brought the guns up to the room because I think he was going to meet a person or persons there to discuss buying some of the different kinds of guns that were there. There were over 20 different configurations of rifles, assault rifles in there. It was a retail storefront, and he was supposedly gambling until 15 or 20 minutes before the shooting started. Let's call it a half hour just for fun. And I think he went up to that room, opened the door, expecting to meet his clients, or they were supposed to be there at the same time. He went in, and his clients executed him, laid him out, put the props all around, busted out the windows, maybe took a few shots themselves, we don't know, and then left. Now, I don't think the main onslaught started then, because what we're hearing now is a conflict between the time Campos was shot. They claimed originally 200 rounds were fired through Paddock's door, and one of them hit Campos in the leg. I don't buy that for a second. You fire high-powered rifles like that in a hotel, they're going to go through door after door, wall after wall, and people are going to get hurt. I think that the executioners of Paddock left the room, the door locked behind them as they walked out. They surprised Campos. They didn't expect Campos to be there. He was checking on an open door alert for the next room down. I think they fired off a couple of rounds, maybe more at him, hit him in the leg, dropped him, and then took off running to get to the service elevator and get the hell out of there. And that's how I think Campos got hurt. He's going to be okay. And that's how I think Mr. Paddock got dead and all the props were laid around so obviously. You know, they show stacked up clips and all that. I don't see boxes and boxes of ammunition. I see 10 or 15 clips. That's, you know, a couple hundred rounds of ammunition. You got 10 clips at 20 rounds. That's 200 rounds right there. Maybe 30 rounders. That's 300 rounds. But the big giveaway, Jay, is the simple fact that there are no spent shell casings anywhere near that window that is clearly identified in the picture as being the shooter's window. Of the two windows, only that one had surveillance and sweep of the crowd down below. The other window didn't. The other window was used to shoot at an aviation fuel tank, which took two hits, they say. Okay, they're going to try and blow that up. There were two big tanks the other window could command. So you've got a lot of issues here. They sprinkled a few cartridges, spent cartridges around his head. One of them fell in the blood, and I've blown that up, and it shows clearly that there's blood on top of the cartridge. Now, how did it get on top of that cartridge casing unless somebody picked it up and dropped it in the blood? Okay? So read the photo spread and understand that there are clues all over that. It's quite remarkable. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, then, with this scenario, which is a very good scenario, who did the shooting?
Oh, they've got, are you kidding? They had, no, I'm rhetorical here. They have as many ISIS shooters as they want. Maybe some came from Georgia. Maybe they were mercenaries. It doesn't matter. These are Middle Eastern types.
So you're saying, oh, wait a minute, I just want to get this straight.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure that you don't lose any credibility here. You're saying that they knew that this guy was a traitor, this Paddock, that he was an arms dealer who was actually CIA, FBI, something, inside Intel, which is very likely, and that they then designed other shooters to begin shooting.
They brought in a team, probably had three components to the team. I'd say there were at least 8 to 10 shooters at several different locations, all told.
I see. So they knew that he had betrayed them.
Well, are you saying betrayed whom? Who are you saying?
Well, I don't know. Who is the people that killed him, do you think?
Oh, let's just say the CIA and the Mossad orchestrated this. They brought in their, we all know that America, essentially with the Israeli state, created ISIS. We control them. We're supplying them. They're attacking the Syrian army from American-held positions in Syria right now. So we have no problem bringing in shooters. These people are jihadis. So they brought in and set up what clearly is a military-style ambush, triangulated shooting, and they needed a patsy. And so they simply had their longtime arms sales guy set up in that suite to allegedly sell some or give choices of different weapons to some buyers. He was just doing what he's done for a long time, if in fact he's done that. And I think there's a very good chance that he was an arms broker, an arms dealer. And so they went up there.
The gigantic safe that was moved into his house, and they were saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then, so they went up. He went in there to meet or met his friends and walked up with them. I don't know, his clients.
Right.
And they shot him. And they laid him out. And they set the room up. They did a crappy job. But that would explain why there were so many different kinds of assault rifles there in different configurations.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That would explain.
Oh, absolutely. It's iron tight. I really like it. Amazing. And so this is also explains why the FBI or the CIA or whoever does not want the real story to break.
Oh, absolutely.
One of their operatives was killed.
That's right. I think you got multiple jurisdiction potential conflicts here. That's why the FBI slapped Lombardo down when he said, well, he had to have some help somewhere along the way. And the FBI guy literally just walked up and started talking over him. This is not going smoothly because different agencies and different power centers are involved. And the bottom line is we have a lot of dead people who were shot at ground level. Now, there's one thing that I particularly find repulsive, and that's Paul Craig Roberts running that unattributed claim by an alleged former military surgeon who says he's looked at every video and has come to the inarguable conclusion that there were no fatalities. How could Roberts run something like that? The guy isn't even named. It's grotesque disinformation. Furthermore, he said...
No, it really is.
He said, well, here's one more point. Here's one more point. This is important. Roberts says, well, the guy says, you know how I can tell this was crisis actors and nobody died? Because nobody died after the second day of October. Well, that's pretty easy to explain. If you work in trauma, and some of you probably do, the shooting went on for however long, 10, 12 minutes. The killing field itself was not accessible to EMTs, paramedics, and other official personnel until it was declared secured by Metro. They had to go in there and make sure no more shooting before they let those people come in. Still, some of them came in, I understand. In the meantime, you had...
That's an hour and a half.
That's right. These critically wounded people are laying there, bleeding out and dying.
That's right.
They died there, or they probably survived in hospital with treatment. In other words, if they're still alive 3-4 hours later, not having gotten the proper care, still at the location of the shooting, they're going to make it. And modern medicine is remarkable. And so they save those people who are critical but stable. Critical but stable. Those who were critically shot and died because they did not get medical care quick enough. So they're all gone in the first day or two. That's why the casualty rate stabilized.
That's absolutely right. People died. I don't want to hear it. Anyone who says that it was crisis actors has to be really questioned at this point. I won't even stand for it. I'm going to get the emails and I'm going, dude, come on. You cannot fake that death face. I have seen it with my own eyes and I saw the video of the guy running through the crowd and testing the people to see if they're still alive. And you cannot, no actor can fake that death mask. It is impossible. When the soul leaves the body, it is clearly obvious.
Very good point, and that's why I put the video up. I had mixed feelings about it.
I appreciate
it,
that.
Yeah.
Because they keep taking it down, and that should tell you a lot. The most valuable video to figure out if this is really happening is not being put up on YouTube. It's only being put up by LiveLead, and LiveLead, the thing keeps being taken down. And that should tell you a lot. They don't want you to know that it's real.
That's right.
They want you to think it's fake.
That's right. And that's why I'm really disappointed in Paul Craig Roberts for running that. Not even attributed. Nobody claims that they know the name of who wrote it. Nothing. It's just irresponsible. This doesn't work.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, the video, it was a body cam or a head mask, whatever it was, by the medic, or if he was a medic, I don't know if he was a medic, but going around from victim to victim. And you're right. I've been involved in things and seen many dead people, and when they're gone, they're gone. And those people were gone. They weren't playing. That wasn't play blood.
Yeah.
So we just got to, I told my listeners several days ago, I don't want to, if any of you think that, fine, go ahead, but don't send me anything on it. I'm disgusted by it. These people, the hideous nature
this
of their murder. Go ahead.
There's a difference between a hoax and a false flag, okay? This is not a hoax. This is a false flag. The false flag is when someone is giving credit for the kill when they didn't really do it, to discredit them and whatever, their race, their politics, their religion, whatever. A hoax is like Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook was a hoax. People didn't die, or maybe some people died because the police screwed up, but for the most part, it was a hoax. This was not a hoax. This was a false flag, like 9/11 was a false flag, in which 2,900 people probably died in 9/11. And if you don't think that, if you think that everyone is empty out of the buildings, and then you're just crazy. And this is that. And that's the difference. And that's why, you know, we got to be able to, got to be careful here in defining the terms. Hoaxes and false flags are not the same thing. This is a false flag.
If you look in the storyline at the top, there's a green line a little ways down in the stories. It says live fire video section. All right, those are all videos, and they're really all worth looking at and listening to. Some of them are just static images, but you really want to take a look and understand that what you're seeing is real. Everyone's got cameras now. It's really hard to come away without some fairly good documentation in terms of digital video from any mass event. These people are constantly using their phones.
That's right. And then, again, I've got to get back to who the victims were. These were Trump supporters. These were probably God-fearing Christian people, for the most part, like that person that you have on, talking about what they experienced. And you have to ask yourself, why would a, you know, supposedly, you know, a white Christian male be shooting up this crowd? And the thing is, they wouldn't. And so then we have to go deeper and look. And I think that's where new theory comes into focus. We need to understand that there's something deeper going on here, and that the reason the FBI or whoever it is that's behind this cover-up doesn't want this to get out is because this guy, Stephen Paddock, was their guy. He was one of theirs. He had been one of theirs ever since he was the internal auditor in Lockheed Martin years and years ago during the height of the DevOps programs and StarTech programs. And he finally walked away, by the way, with a pretty good pension for Lockheed because of what he knew. They wanted to pay him good to keep him quiet. And so that may be another source of his income. Well, this doesn't equal $5 million a year. It might equal, you know, a couple hundred G's a year as a pension.
Right.
Because they don't want anybody that knows the internal auditing of what's going on, especially in the time he was there, which would be the 80s and early 90s. When
yeah.
They were really going strong.
Yeah, Pop, get closer to your phone, Jay, a little bit, if you can.
And I'm sorry. Yes. Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we know that, according to William Tompkins, that the aerospace industry is going crazy with Solar Warden and all these other programs. At the same time, this guy was working right in the middle of, you know, the whole area, the whole aerospace industry.
He knew.
It really calls into question.
Yeah.
Of course he knew.
He knew.
And he was also supposedly a conspiracy theorist. So, you know, probably walked away from the job thinking that there really were conspiracy theories.
There's another video.
So I don't believe it.
No, of course not. When you have an audience like that of conservative, white, Christian, usually Trump supporters, you have clearly made a political effort to punish a group, and that's the truth. The shooters, they got millions of them, ready, willing, and able to mow down Americans that hate America. I have a source who used to work in the Mandalay Bay. He's got friends still there, and these aren't lower-level people, okay? They're up there. And he told me the lunchroom scene there, the blacks, the whites, the Latinos, and they all talk to each other. Sometimes they sit together and whatever. He said the Muslims that work there never mix. They all stay by themselves in a little group. They come and they go, and they stay in the same area, mumbling to each other in Arabic. They don't speak English. They're making no effort to assimilate, get along with their fellow employees in that regard. They're mumbling. Somebody comes near them, they stop talking. And the person passes by, then they'll go back to their mumbling. 120 plus employees. Do you think there might be one or two in there, Jay, that are radicalized?
Definitely. I think that has to become a very serious problem for the casino. casino owners. But, you know, we also have to look back at head of the Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, and he was presenting, you know, a new security system to the casino owners last year. And apparently he was like, you know, told this is bad for business to have all these scanners and all this. So we're really not interested. And just got to wonder, you know, he looks like the devil himself. So, you know, you got to wonder what if he is involved somehow in the background at this thing to try to get more security equipment that he is creating moved into businesses, casinos, banks, etc.
Steve Wynn is supposedly the pioneer of that. He put them in his hotels and let it slip about a year and a half ago that there were very sophisticated scanning devices. He didn't go on much and he caught himself and stopped. I believe that most every major hotel there has X-ray devices at their entrances. They know how much change you got in your pocket. They know how many cases or tubes of lipstick a woman has in her purse. You've seen those backscatter videos of how they work. My God, they have them in vans in major cities, and they drive right down the city, right down the street, and they expose everyone to these things. They look at every car that's parked on the side of the street. They look at the people walking. Allegedly, they're doing it as DHS employees to try to find terrorists, look for guns. They're blasting people with this stuff constantly with those white vans. You've seen the videos, Jay. What I was going to do is play a little bit of this Eric Paddock interview. If you saw the first one,
oh boy,
friends, he was overacting, completely exasperated. I can't imagine it. I don't understand. It just blows my mind. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. The second one, this is the one I have up now, 34 minutes. This guy has been put through the ringer. They sat him down and they told him what he was going to say, how he was going to say it. He is frazzled. He is shook. He is babbling. He's running off at the mouth. And right at the 15-minute mark, he says something that is enormous. And as soon as he says it, he only gets the word halfway out and he stops himself. And then he says, I forget what he says. Please.
I was making a colloquial.
That's right. I was making a colloquial expression that might besmudge one of the military branches. Well, okay, he's trying to pass it off as a colloquial expression. But what did he say? I'm going to let you listen to it, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss what you think he might have said and the allusion that he was making about his brother and who his brother might have been involved with. And the word starts with the letter A, and the second letter is R. And it has two more letters after that. And you can figure the word out. All right, so here's Eric Paddock. Now, this guy is really just babbling and chattering and making nonsensical statements. And then he says this, and he catches himself. Whoops.
Stopped in Reno. And then she flew down to see her parents or her kid or something. And he flew over here. And him getting on a plane and flying somewhere is like you going to Publix. I mean, it's something he just does every week.
You use the phrase evil genius. Do you think that was?
I'm sorry. I mean, that's the thing I shouldn't have said. But that's what...
She asked him, did you use the phrase evil genius? Well, that was used by some of the media, and he repeated it, and he says, I'm sorry, that's the one phrase I shouldn't have used.
I mean, that he's this, you know, but he's a highly intelligent, there's absolutely no, and this is the other part that I want to stress with
here
this.
Here it comes.
That it doesn't matter that they won't chase people, but people are saying, oh, he must have had help. Steve had no help. Steve didn't take help. It did not take a village for Steve. Steve was an Please don't. I was about to use a colloquial term that would besmudge one of the armed forces. Steve was a...
Whoops. Did you hear that, Jay? You still there?
I did, and some people have said that he's going to say Steve was an army of one, and that was the colloquial insult to the military.
That's not an insult.
I don't think so.
No.
I think he was going to say he was an arms dealer. And furthermore, that would explain how Eric got rich and his family got rich.
Absolutely, they all got rich. Of course. Yeah.
That's right.
No.
Which he says in the first interview. That, you know, the reason that everybody got wealthy was because of Steve. Well, exactly how did that happen, Mr. Eric? You know?
How did your brother get rich?
How did you get rich?
Steve, I mean,
a lot of people are rich, but their family doesn't get rich.
He had.
Right. Let's listen to that again. You think he's talking about trying to pass it off as something that he's very quick on his feet sometimes, this guy.
He would besmirch
a branch of the army, but the word itself was arms. He was an arms dealer. That's what he was going to say. I believe that. I can't prove it.
I do too.
Brain cancer and was going to die in 6 months. He's not the kind of guy who would have gone in.
Let's see if I can.
For treatment.
Hold on, I got to move this up just a little. Okay, here we go.
Evil genius.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's the thing I shouldn't have said. But that's what people are. I mean, that he's this, you know. But he's a highly intelligent. There's absolutely no. And this is the other part that I want to stress with this. That it doesn't matter that they won't chase people. But people are saying, oh, he must have had help. Steve had no help. Steve didn't take help. It did not take a village for Steve. Steve was an I'm sorry. Please don't. I was about to use a colloquial term that would besmudge one of the armed forces.
Whoops, Eric. You let the kitty out of the bag. That's why one of the reasons I put together the scenario of that room being used as a meeting place, a retail storefront, to show off a lot of different weapons. That's how they do it. And people come in and say, all right, we'll take 10,000 of these, 5,000 of those. And he's probably been doing that for a long time. Remember, he's also taken 20 ocean cruises to locations that are clearly eligible to be platforms for selling weapons.
No, I got to tell you, Jeff, you're right on. Of all the theories I've heard, this one really, truly makes the most sense. And he was giving info back to the FBI, CIA, all of it, about who he's dealing with. Otherwise, they wouldn't have let him go. He would have been caught a long time ago.
Yep.
So, yeah, that makes total sense, I have to say. And it is the theory that, in some ways, can't be broken, whatever way you look at it. How do you get all the guns? For one thing, this explains how he got all the guns. The Democrats are trying to make hay and saying that, you know, they're going to change the laws now. But, you know, we know that he didn't use guns that have been rectified and changed. These were serious automatic weapons that were being used and probably had nothing to do with him. And then there's the fact that his house got broken into, you know, and that in itself is enough to make you think that somebody called in on Savage's show 2 days ago and said they drove up to Paddock's house and there was no police tape or anything around the house to indicate that it was the subject of an investigation. Now, I ask you, really? If that's true, then there's no way. So, you know, if the person that called in, you know, was truthful, then, you know, there's something really, really, really bad going on here. And the explanation that seems to fit the most is the one that you're telling.
Well, it came together over a period of several days. But when I heard this interview with Eric Paddock, Steve was an R. All right, there it is. Yeah, he's been for years running guns, selling guns, moving guns. That's what he does. 20 ocean cruises. The guy probably has contacts all over the world, or had. So there's the source of the money, and he acted like he had an endless supply of money. Not like he had made a small stash, a couple of million in real estate. He played and spent money like it was a tap, and he turned it on, and it just kept flowing and flowing. That's the kind of business he was probably in. Endless amounts of money.
I would say you're right. And that was why he got access to the elevator and
sure,
the comps and the rooms and the whole thing, because he's working with the people that are running the Mandalay and all the other hotels. You're also part of this whole system.
Can you spell Mossad? This, look, it's a Zionist Jewish world for the most part. They're involved in the gun smuggling and gun running and gun sales. They own the hotel business. They say, we need these guns up in that room. Those guns are up in that room. It's very simple. You own the game, you run the show. And if anybody thinks that this man lugged those guns in through the front door, they're crazy. When I was there working, I knew a lot. They didn't have the technology then that they do now. I guarantee you, they have so much security now that the average visitor would be very uncomfortable, probably even staying in the hotels. Every move they make is watched.
Let me tell you a story. I was in Vegas about 10 years ago, and I was making a documentary, and I needed to get video or moving pictures of people gambling for B-roll for my video documentary I was making, right? So I was in one of the casinos, and I had a woman with me, and I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. We're going to get a wheelchair. We're going to stick the camera in your crotch, and we're going to stick a blanket over it. And then I'm going to wheel you around, and we're going to shoot these guys playing poker, and then we'll have B-roll for my documentary.
Uh-huh.
And she agreed to do it. So I stuck the camera down between her legs, put a blanket over it. No one could possibly see this camera, if you know what I mean. It's impossible. And
right.
I went around, wheeling around. I didn't get 4.5 minutes before I was pulled over by security. And they came over to me and they said, is there a camera between her legs? And I went, holy crap, they caught me. And they did. And then they took the film and they erased it,
mm-hmm,
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how much security there is at that place. You can't even take a secret video, in a super secret way, without getting caught.
And that was 10 years
ago. Everywhere. That was 10 years ago. Yeah, and they were everywhere. And by the way, when I was getting regressed by this detective who was in the hotel, the waitress came by and she said, I knew you guys was filming. So she was part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
She was watching the whole thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody there was watching. You know what I mean? Everybody.
Yeah.
And they're doing it to watch for cheaters. That's ostensibly the reason.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I want to say, is that there's no way, having been in Vegas many times, I don't gamble at all, by the way. I don't believe in gambling. My life is a gamble. But I stay in Vegas for different sort of conferences and things through there. And I really, truly, truly believe that, I'm not saying there's cameras in every room, although I suspect there may be hidden cameras in every room in Vegas, but I know that if you put a do not disturb sign on your door, that don't mean crap to those people. They are coming in your room. They are searching. They're looking through your stuff. They're looking to find out if you're a cheater. You're coming here to do card counts or whatever. And there's not for one second do I believe someone could put a bunch of arms in a room for days without getting caught. Unless
no chance.
Special.
Total surveillance. They got hidden cameras in the rooms.
Absolutely.
I look.
Everywhere.
They'd be nuts not to. You're on private property. You've got no rights there. That's their business. You play their rules.
That's right.
Also,
and it's run by the mob. We know Vegas is completely run by the mob. So come on.
When you have a security command center like they have in every hotel, you would be stunned at the advanced technology that's used. Every single window in the Mandalay Bay, for example, every one has sensors on the glass. If that window is pushed or jiggled, a light goes off on a monitor in master control, in security, and they watch it, and if it doesn't clear up in a natural sense, they're right on it. They probably have cameras in there that can go to the window anyway and look. So they know everything you do in there. Oh, and another thing.
Well, I mean,
you can take those windows out from the inside in less than 60 seconds if you know how to do it.
Yeah, because they have to clean them.
Exactly.
And so if you know what you're doing, you don't even need it.
They get those big rubber suction things, and they clamp onto it. They disconnect the sensor, and they remove whatever edging they have around it to hold it on. There's some molding, some kind of metal framing, and they just pull it down and clean it and put it back in. They don't have to knock them out. That was all theatrics to get people to think,
exactly.
Yeah, wow, he knocked the windows out. That's where it was. No, the other shooters.
And by the way, even if you had a 60-pound sledgehammer, you hit those windows, it's just going to bounce off. And if it did break the window, it would shatter into thousands of little tiny pieces of glass, because that's what tempered glass is meant to do. It's just like your windshield in your car.
Right.
So, I mean, the whole thing doesn't even make any sense. Also, and you may know more about this than I do because I've been trying to track this down, it appears that someone, Ruckley TV, I think they were called, they went around the Mandalay in the morning after and found two more windows that had been opened or broken open.
Where they were missing. I saw the picture. No, they were still not in their frames. They had been taken out, and the shooters just left them out. And got the hell out of there. They were extracted. And I can tell you, in all likelihood, we had a guest from Las Vegas on. He's got a great idea about how they extracted this team. They were also, remember, involved with shooting at the Tropicana and New York, New York. So there were several groups there. But one of the
Bellagio.
Groups... And the Bellagio. One of the groups, if not more, simply migrated to the right of the hotel as you look down on it from above to where the Janet airline is that takes people to Area 51 every day. They run 5 737 jets every day. It's U.S. Air Force, top security. You don't get in there. Those people could have been taken over there, walked over there, run over there with the thousands of people running and headed down that street, jumped into a small private jet, and they're gone.
Easy
out.
Easy out. Exactly right.
Well, that's
every day from that airport. There's a jet that goes to Area 51.
There's five jets.
That's right.
I got pictures of it.
So,
I'm putting up tomorrow.
We've got a deep state operative, Paddock, who's been involved in black ops, in Skunk Works, probably, at least knowing the accounting for Skunk Works. He has a business that is named after the military's code name for Area 51. He's in Las Vegas, which is what, 90 miles from Area 51? Something like that, you're right. And I mean, there is something here so weird and bizarre.
Yes, yes.
That we can't let up on it. We have to stay on this 24/7. We have to pressure everybody to start talking. I think the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department has got people who are on our side and don't want this BS to go on. We have to encourage them to release as much information as possible, put it on Snapchat, put it somewhere that we can get to.
Yeah.
And we got to find out what's going on here. There's no way that this guy did it. I'll never believe that. They know they can't sell that. And so they're trying to change the timelines. Oh, my God. When they change the timeline, that's when we knew something really fishy.
I agree. All right. We got to say goodnight for this visit. But I'm glad you agree with what I put together on this. And I think it may get some traction. Thank you, Jay. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Okay, running a little bit late. We're going to take our break and come right back.